Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise God. Tonight's that night that we declare before God Almighty for the things He has done. One thing I want to do is I want to send a shout out to Cleflo Dollar. The man of God is teaching and preaching the word. My God, my God, my God. Oh, Jesus, I love it. Because I'm doing the same thing on this side of the river. And Christ is in me. Hallelujah. And tonight I want to just everybody that have decided to come on the radio station, we're going to decree and declare that we're going to own radio station. That we get the volume out, get the word out, get the love out, get the peace out. One of the things I will say tonight that we're on the radio, I know that this is called Christmas time. But tonight, on this particular day, is on the 7th of December. Pearl Harbor happened that some years ago in 1941. And Chanukah begins today in the Jewish map world. And so I want to say this tonight to all the believers. We need to love more of God, through God, by God, and God for God. God has called us to a great work. Hallelujah. And that work is up to us, what we do. And you see, the more we let Christ live in us, the more we can tell the world what Christ is doing in us. Because Christ is in us, and we in Him. Let this mind that was in Christ Jesus be in you also. What a mind. Let that same mind, he that lives within me, no weapon that is formed against me. I'm telling you, it is so clear what Jesus is doing to the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Tonight we got one of our listeners coming on, our teacher, Sonia Thompson. Praise the living God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Yes, Lord. Father, we come over here, Father, just thanking you tonight for your word. And we are being down on this radio, God. Father, we surrender to you, Lord God, ourselves, our lives. And Father, we just ask you to have your way. Let your word come forth, oh God. And Father, we ask you, Lord God, to just that we will decrease and allow you to increase, Lord God, where your word will be uninterrupted and unhindered by any flesh or any satanic or demonic force. And we just praise you. We bind him and it tries to come up against the word and come up against us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah,
amen.
What you're talking about is that's right on point tonight. You know, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. Those of us that are believers. And, you know, I thank God for this word. We have so much going for us.
Amen.
You know, God is for us, and it's more than the world that's against us. And we're so thankful for that. You know, look
Amen.
At Matthew 11 and 28 tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 11:28-30. You know what Jesus is talking about? This is what we need to do when we got all these things going on in the world.
Amen.
The word of God says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burdens are light."
Amen.
You know, right along with what you're talking about, having this mind of Christ, is being mindful of what the Word of God says to do. You know,
amen.
Different situations and circumstances we go through in this life, because, you know, the Word of God said we're going to have these tribulations. We're going to have these things because we're in this world, but we can be of good cheer.
Good cheer.
That's what he told us now. I'm reading this out of the Word of God.
Amen.
You know, because a lot of times we can take that wrong look at it. I mean, we just taking a natural look at it. We're looking at it by exactly what we see. But in John 16, it tells us that at 16:33, it says, In this world you will have tribulation and trials and distresses and frustrations, but be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you and conquered it for you.
Amen.
That's the Amplified version.
Okay.
You know, we are in this world. There's a lot going on. All you got to do is cut on CNN, or if you was in Paris, or if you was out in San Bernardino, you saw some stuff these last few weeks.
Yes, indeed.
This last month. And this is going on almost daily. When we turn on, something has happened, some shooting or something. But you know what? As the saints of God, you all talked about that the other night, saints, we're all saints because we're believers. But as believers, we can be of good cheer.
Amen.
We don't have to walk around here dish depressed because he has overcome it. And once we believe in Christ, we need to take all that he has done and believe that it's for me. You know, and that's what we have when we preach this gospel to the folks that don't believe. That's what you have. If you're an unbeliever listening to this radio, you do have a hope in Christ.
Amen.
Because
praise.
Jesus have already overcome these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is something normal that this stuff is going on. He said it in the Word. You will have tribulation and trials. You will have distresses and frustrations going on. This is all attributed to the situations and circumstances that are going on in the world. You know, but he said, be of good cheer.
Be of good cheer.
Because he's overcome it. And if we believe in God, if we believe in this Bible, it's not a cause for us to sit around and talk about what we see, because we're walking by faith. And the bottom line is that, you know, the Bible gives us solutions and resolutions about everything in this world. You know, if we need protection, we need to run to Psalms 91. You know, if we need guidance, you know, the Lord is our shepherd. You know, there's specific guidance for every area of our life and everything that's going on in our life. And, you know, that's what I was on Matthew 11 and 28 through 30, where it talks about who else is laboring tonight. Going through some heavy situations. You know, Jesus knows where we are. He knows exactly where we are. God sees us. He's all seeing, all knowing. He's omniscient and he's omnipresent. And he is present here in this world. He is not asleep and he is not gone. In these verses, he sees us. He knows where we are. And he's telling us what to do. Come to me. You're going through all the situations and circumstances in life. You heavy laden. You burdened down. Come to me. And he's telling us to take his yoke upon us.
Take it.
To learn of him. And he will give us rest for our soul. And I know, you know what, I need some rest for my soul. I don't know about you.
Amen.
And I know if you're out there and you need some rest for your soul, this is exactly where you need to be on this radio station, hearing about Jesus.
Amen.
Because he has the healing. He has the peace. In the word it also says that my peace I give you, not as the world give you. Let not your heart be troubled. And he has the healing, he has the peace, and he has rest for us. You know, you turn on the news or you take a drive, you just drive your car the driveway.
Mm-hmm.
And you go through so much stress going from just point A, from your home to the grocery store.
I knew it.
You know what? You see road rage. You see people want to shoot you the bird. You see all kind of stuff going on. You see provocative advertisement. You can turn on. You see everything. I mean, you go through everything. If you just drive one block, you know, you went, you know, and the bottom line is we need to really come to Jesus.
Uh-huh.
And we need to not just come to him one time, but this needs to be a continuous thing all day long. And if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you need to come on to him. Because in this world, there's a lot going on here, and you're not able to really, really live. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You can't live without him. You may be existing, and you may be existing under these different systems in the world that are causing you more stress. You know, you see all these situations going on with people where they got these conditions. And you know, they break it out in different things, like with the shingles and all these type of things. All this stuff is stress-related.
My God.
You know, they're going through these stress-related illnesses, and then they're going into these depressions. You listen to some of these side effects when they talk about these medications may cause you to have suicidal thoughts. Like, what kind of medicine is that? You know, I've actually known people to commit suicide. You know, I've, and that stuff is real. But that's not coming under Jesus. He said, if you're heavy laden and burden and laboring, And he said, I'll give you rest. The suicide rate up in the military is so high right now. The suicide rate in the world is so high right now. People just, I think they can't take it anymore.
My God.
But Jesus has he has a way out from all these things. He's got a way, and he's taught his way is for us to come to him.
My God.
All that are heavy laden. He said all. That's what the word says, all. It doesn't have a condition on if you are in this economic status or if you this color, if you this religion. Everybody's invited tonight. You know, and like I say, this is a continuing thing. We need to continue to come unto Jesus, you know, and take his yoke upon us. He said, for his yoke is easy and his burden is light. It doesn't pull us out of the world, but it keeps us in with the right, in the right way, in this world, in the right way. And that's such a blessing.
Amen.
It's such a blessing to know
such
that I'm
blessing.
Not alone. And the word tells us that he's already told us that I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And I praise God for that tonight. Because people will walk out on you. You know, these jobs will play out on you. You know, you cannot put your trust in people. You cannot put your trust in these jobs. You can't put your trust in these families. You know, put your trust in Jesus, and these situations can take a turn. Or whatever you're going through, you can walk through it in peace. Thank God for that tonight. We thank God for that tonight. Amen, amen. And, you know, I thank God for that word, and I just looked it up before we came over, but John 16:33, you know, lets us know that we can be of good cheer. Yeah, there's a lot of things going on in this world. It lets us know, but we can be of good cheer. But the cheer comes from us believing in Jesus, us staying in Jesus, us with Jesus in this and believing what he has already done for us to overcome this world, you know, participating in his program of overcoming, not our own program. Amen? And I want to jump over here. That ties us right into Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Go on, sister. Teach it.
Because, you know, you ain't going to we've got to stay in that rest. He told us here, that I'm come unto me, you that are heavy laden and burdened down and laboring, and I'll give you rest. Now, I just want us to take a little more in-depth look at this rest because, you know, as I was looking at it, I was like, wow. You know, chapter 4, verse 1 says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Now, what made me say wow on this verse is that ceasing to persevere in faith and in obedience to Jesus could result in the failure to reach the eternal promise rest of heaven. That statement had me like, wow.
My God.
That's something to think about. Because it says, let us therefore fear. Now, why should we be fearing this? Least a promise being left us.
That's a promise.
Being left us. That's what it's saying. I'm just reading the Bible here.
Amen.
Of entering into his fear. Because, see, I got to believe. Any of you should seem to come short of it. So this is a very serious thing here. You know, whenever we say we believe that Jesus died for our sins and that he rose from the that God rose and raised him from the dead on the third day. When we put our faith in him, we got to believe. We have to believe. That's what we call believers. So he's promised us this rest.
Yes.
And it says, let us therefore fear, least a promise being left of us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. So when we're going through these situations in life, these circumstances, and we are heavy burdened and laden, and he's calling us to come to him.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to believe that he's done what he said he did. That's what all this is about.
That's what it's all about.
That's what all of this is about. And then as a believer, to not believe. I think that's a big problem.
Yes, it is.
And I think that's where we ran into the issue at right here, because it's the same sort of issue that the Israelites ran into when they came out of Egypt.
Yeah.
And so you got that same situation they went to because of their unbelief, they didn't go into the promised land. The one that generation that wasn't believing. And when we talk about this promised land here, we're talking about eternal life. And we don't want nothing to block that, because that's what we believe. We believe Jesus died for our sins.
The believers
that I'm talking to tonight, and we believe that God raised him from the dead,
and we
put our faith in that, in the finished work of Calvary. And this is a finished work of Calvary. Amen?
Amen.
This is what God bought and purchased for us. And the commentator here was saying that the phrase, let us therefore fear, is spoken in light of this terrible possibility and of the judgment of God. Persevering in faith requires that we continue to draw near to God through Christ with uttermost determination. You know, this one right here will knock these folks off the pew that come to church every Sunday, and they just, hey, we at church, you know, we paid our dues, we came. You know, it's not about just coming to church every Sunday and just being there. It's about a relationship, you know, and it's about continuing in that relationship. You know, and it's about our focus have changed from the world to God and about the things of God. And, you know, a lot of times we can get in front of each other and play the role real good.
Yeah. Say it, sister.
We can do that. You know, I can come in here and tell you I'm blessed, and yes, you know, I can say all the right things, but, you know, this entering into his rest and moving on with God and the things of God daily is very serious.
It is.
You know, because it takes us to persevere in faith. He sees us. He sees what's going on that nobody else knows. He sees your heart, you know. And, you know, when we're going into this rest, I mean, it's like taking on everything that God have made available for us. And it's about being serious in the things of God, believing. You know, and it's about going and doing what God had called us to do. Verse 2 says, "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." I said, okay.
Oh, my God.
See, and this is us believing and walking by faith.
Walking by faith.
This is us believing and walking by faith and continuing in this word. You know, when we can get into where we're just going through the motion with church, that's a problem. Because there ain't no faith in that.
No.
And you know what? It ought to shake us. You know, when we talk about last week, this judgment seat of Christ and the fear of God, you know, just this going to church, just a tradition, and I'm just there, throw the Bible in the window and it get, you know, where the sun wrinkle the pages and all that. That's a problem. Because there's no faith in that.
No faith.
And then we can come out of church, whether we playing or not. Some folks don't play at all. Some folks ain't, you know, they don't care about the air. They'll come out and just do whatever they're doing after 11:30 service and continue it on to the next 11:30 service. But some of us will come out and we got our faith on now, and then we'll go do something, whatever we're doing, you know, under the radar. We think under the radar, you know, nobody else knows. But bottom line, no matter what it is, it's still not mixed with faith. You know?
My God.
We need to believe.
Believe.
And then we need to operate out of belief. What do you do when you believe? You know, you live a life that's obedient with the commandments of God and with the word of God. So going to verse 3, it says, "For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest,
although
the works were finished from the foundation of the world." Amen.
Amen. Praise the living
you
God.
You know, believing in this word, you know, it's critical, especially through everything we go through. Taking his word and applying it to these situations and circumstances in our life, you know, wherever we are in our walk and whatever's going on, you know, the way we do it is according to the word of God.
Yeah, yeah.
And as a believer, we should be opening this Bible to find our solution for everything. And you know, the bottom line is that there's a consequence that we'll pay for operating outside of the word of God.
That's it.
There's you a consequence we'll pay.
Oh, Jesus.
And you know, the commentator was saying, only we who have believed the saving message of Christ enters God's spiritual rest. Christ takes our burdens and sins and gives us the rest of his forgiveness, salvation, and the Holy Spirit. However, in this life, our rest is only partial, for we are pilgrims plodding through a harsh world. One by one, as we die in the Lord, we enter his perfect rest in heaven. You know, my daughters were talking about heaven today. And they said in their class, they started talking, they just started Christian school. So they just started talking about when the little boys was talking about he was scared to die. And my daughter piped up and said, well, if you're born again, you shouldn't be scared.
Oh, my God. Preach it, little girl.
I mean, it was just, Jesus. You shouldn't be scared because you know where you're going. And see, that takes the fear out of everything.
Mm.
You already know. You know, that takes the fear out. And see, that's one thing about the scriptures I talked about tonight. Matthew 11:27-28-30. You know, when we're going through these things, all, it's all. That's what the word says, all. So I'm taking it when it says all. For believers, non-believers, anybody, you, Buddhist or whatever, Jesus calling you tonight. Muslim, Jesus is calling you tonight. Whoever you are, all. Transvestite, transgender, whatever you want, whatever, whoever you are. Jesus is calling you. And he's saying, you don't have to carry that load no more.
No more. My God.
He said, come to me. And he's got healing, peace, love, forgiveness, deliverance, salvation, eternal life. He was bruised for your iniquity. He's bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon
him.
And by his stripes, we are healed.
We are healed.
So he's got a whole package deal for us tonight. And he said, come on to me. And when he's talking about taking his burden, for his burden is easy and his yoke is light, he's with you in this world. He's not going to leave you alone. He's not going to leave you on your own.
Praise the living
God. He's not going to walk out. A lot of people will walk out. Jobs and situations and families change, but Jesus will stay right with you.
Right with you.
And all you got to do is just believe in.
Hallelujah.
That's all you got to do is believe in. Put your faith right there in him. And
Amen.
He said, "I, you know, we don't have to worry. We don't have. We can be of good cheer. There's a lot going on. It's a lot of bad stuff going on, and guess what? It's a lot of good stuff going on too." A lot of people don't talk about the good stuff, but it's a lot of good going on in this world. But the bottom line, Jesus said, don't look at that stuff. Be of good cheer. I have overcome it.
I have overcome it.
And looking at this word in Hebrews, he's talking about rest. And it's he said, believe me. See, whatever you believe is what you're going to follow. That's why it makes so much sense that this word operates just off of your believing. Not off your $250 offer for the blessing, if you send it in the next 10 minutes. We ain't asking all that. Jesus, I ain't never seen send $200 for a blessing. I've been looking through the Bible for that. But what I'm saying is he's saying, just believe me.
Believe me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
All this stuff is by believe me.
Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And having faith in this word, having faith in what he said he did, and what this what the word of God says, having faith in it. That's how we rest. I don't know if you all needed this tonight, but I sure needed it.
My God.
That's how we rest.
That's how
faith
we do.
In him. Faith in him.
Amen.
Faith in him. Faith in him. And the problem is, if it's not mixed with, if it's not faith, it works with faith.
That's it.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So if there's anyone out there that wants to receive Jesus as their Lord tonight, we are here to lead and guide you, lead you into the prayer of salvation. We are here to help you.
My God, my God.
We're here to disciple you. We're here to come alongside you. We're here to counsel with you or whatever you need tonight. We're here for you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Praise God. Amen.
Thank you.
One of the things that I want to thank God tonight for what we've heard, what God has said. But as I was perusing the Bible, and that was a man named Peter. All of us know about Peter, don't we? Amen. So when I go to Acts 12 and 5, I find these words that kind of identify what's going on today. Because there are a lot of people are kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So a lot of people we love, a lot of people don't know, we got to pray for them. A lot of people in prison, as the beloved was teaching, they're in a spiritual prison of darkness, but we got to do what the Bible said. But prayer was made without ceasing to the church, unto God for them, him. And we're going to watch God do a great work for us. You know, tonight I'm just so happy. I'm just full of the Holy Ghost, just waiting. I'm just sitting there just listening with the, I think we got Sister Arroyo. She's getting ready to come on and teach what God has put in her heart to us tonight. Sister Arroyo, are you there?
Yes, I am. Praise the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Glory
Amen.
To his name. Glory Amen. To his name. Praise be to God. And how is everybody on the line?
Blessed.
Thank you.
Yes. We thank the Lord for his many, many blessings.
Amen.
And much, much glory. God is good all the
Amen.
Time. Truly, God is good. Truly. The psalmist say, truly, God
truly.
Is good. Truly.
Truly.
And I didn't know where to come from tonight because I just it's so much I want to share. But at this time of year, which Christmas, we make it an exceptional time because we honor the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus
mm-hmm.
Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We're coming up on the end of the year. This year has flew. But praise be to God. God say a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day with God. So this end of this year has already been seen, already been forecast, and God already know not only the end of this year, but the whole end of the world. So we want to give God the glory. I just want to share with you all something that's very important in Revelation chapter 2.
Okay.
I want to read Revelation chapter 2 to everybody because for those who have been born again and have been washed in the blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and as Acts chapter 4:12 say, as many as received him, to them gave
he gave
power.
Become.
And so that is a very important step, you know, to receive Christ.
Yes.
I know it seems so redundant and so tiresome for so many of us to keep on talking about receive Christ, be born again, get the Holy Spirit, get the fall in love, don't leave your first love. Get confidence in him. Know that he got your back. Know that he will never leave you nor forsake you. All those things seem like cliches after a while. We've said them so long.
Yeah.
But I truly want to share with you this chapter 2 tonight. To the angel of the church of Ephesus, write, these things say, he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, and who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. That's verse 1. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And that truly is talking to us Christians and even some non-Christians who get vexed. We all get agitated at evil and wickedness.
Yeah.
But then God is calling us out on ours. He's talking to the church. Now, mind you, he ain't talking to the sinners here. This is to the angel of the church at Ephesus. He's right. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. Ephesus and Ephesians is the same word, you know. And he told them, he know him who had, the one who had the seven stars in his right hand. I want y'all to get a picture of Jesus, the same Jesus that was on the cross. Get a picture of him holding seven stars in his right hand. Seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands.
My God.
And verse 2, I know, he say, he know. I mean, this is to the church, y'all. Keep it in mind. This ain't to no sinners. This is to the church. I know your works and your labor, your patience. He know your patience.
Yes.
And that you cannot bear, and God knows this has been my testimony for years, cannot bear those who are evil. Yet I've been evil myself. Don't get me mm-hmm. wrong. I haven't been excluded. It's just that we just get so, just like the religious right and all of them people, they get so, we pretend that we're so right and everybody else is so wicked. But let's look at ourselves. Let's internalize this, as they say. Let's internalize it. I am the church. Two or three of us is the church. We are in the midst of these seven stars in the lampstand that God, and he knows that our patience run thin.
Amen.
He knows this. These are things God know about us. I don't want to dwell up here too much because I really want to get down here to some more good stuff, even though this whole chapter is just dynamite.
Hey!
It's just dynamite. After he tells you he know your patience and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles. Now listen to me good. Who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. Get it straight now. Make a very study this here. After this is Revelation chapter 2, verse 2. Now verse 3, and you have preserved and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Oh God, in these last days, thank you Jesus, he know us y'all. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your, come on with it, y'all, first love.
My God.
Your first love.
The first
that
love.
You have, second, first, this is Revelation chapter 2, verse 4.
Yeah.
Our first love. And you know what's coming up later is if you lukewarm, he going to spit you. You know how you used to spit and how you see people spit tobacco and how they spew it out of their mouth? Yeah, that's what God's going to do to us that ain't got no patience with the weak, with those who are not as strong as us, with those who don't profess to be as so called all knowledgeable as us. But because we don't have patience, But God has found a fault with us that we done left our first love, and I beg of everyone out there that know the name of Jesus, pray for me and the whole body of Christ, that we will be faithful on fire till we die or be caught up in the sky.
Yes,
I pray, don't let us be lukewarm.
Yes,
don't
Lord.
Let us be nonchalant and impatient with those who are not as strong as we. Because the Bible says the strong ought to bear the infirmity of the weak. And so, therefore, don't get so upset with these people who keep falling into sin, because I promise you, there's a scripture that teaches for the judgment that we judge the sin. I ain't talking about sinners, y'all. I'm talking about saints.
Yes.
The church. I'm talking about the church.
The
when
church.
We come so, come down so hard on the church and not teaching, not sharing them love and having compassion, knowing we ourselves have fallen many, 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 many times that we wasn't walking the straight and narrow the whole time. We've fallen. But God said, most of all, we have left our first love.
My God.
Remember therefore from whence, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly. And remove your lampstand from it unless you repent. Please repent. Repenting is not a hard thing to do. It just means to make up your mind. I'm going to serve God and not serve myself, not lust after wealth, houses, land, and money, and not chase after that. I'm not going to chase after the world and all that it has that's temporary, and the flesh, and the devil. We have three enemies. Never forget them three. We talk about witches and warlocks and demons and all those things, but our true enemies are the devil, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And all three of these people, entities are very powerful. Because so I beg of you to repent. Let us all repent, Lord, for any moments that we have spent not worshiping you. And I chose this here chapter because I want to get to the part where if you don't take the time on a daily basis, practically, momentarily, I'm going to come to you now from Colossians. I'm not going to go over there. I'm going to just quote it out of my head. Colossians chapter tells us, in all that we do give thanks. And in everything you do in the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
If you give I preached on that before. If you give a handshake, do everything in the name of Jesus. Give somebody a smile in the name of Jesus. So whatever you do it in the name of Jesus with joy and gladness and with that love. Now, you don't feel the love all the time, so don't get hung up on the feeling. Sometimes you won't feel like God loves you, and you won't feel like you love God. But you know we love God, but we have put him back on the second shelf, and God don't want to be on a second shelf. He got to be first. We all get busy with life and all this little holidays and the little cumbersome things and the little just getting a regular meal and taking care of your body and trying to just have a little peace of mind. Those things take time. So I understand, and then when these holidays and stuff come up, it's just all, we just seem to push Christ too. But when you wake up in the morning, give God the glory, give him his praise. I'm headed to the verse down here, where it says where the angels stand around him 24/7, praising him, worshiping him. Let me tell you, there ain't a human being with blood running through their body and breath in their lungs that is worthy of praise 24/7, forever and ever. But the Lord God Almighty, Most High, is worthy. And I'm going to tell you something. We, the church, that's what we're going to be doing. So get started on it now. You can't praise God too much. You can't magnify God too much. You can't worship God too much. You can't give him his honor, his glory, his exaltation too much. He is first. He ain't second. We have not left our first love. We remember from whence we've come. We remember when we was in darkness and lost, and that we have been translated. Translated. Do you understand the depth of translation? We've been moved. We've been spiritually uprooted from one place and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Get more personal than that. Saint John says, we have been put in the palm of his hand. All that the Father has given him, the devil can't pluck them out of his hand. So,
amen.
Let me go on. Verse 5. Or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. But since you have that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. You hear God? Do y'all hear him? And one of these weeks, I'm going to do a study on the love knots and the hates that God put in here, not the hates for man. I hate and I love knots ain't worth nothing. But one of the great love knots in 1 John is love not the world. Love not the world. No. But I'm going to do a great study on that. I find it fascinating how God uses terminologies in the Bible. Love not. Of all the things. Now, God tells us constantly that the first and second commandment is the most important commandments of all. But then it gets real serious and tells us to love not the world. Because this world is going to vanish away, you guys. It's going to melt with fervent heat. And God's going to create a new earth and a new heaven and a new earth. So why should you love something that's a vapor that is not even going to be in existence? But love God first, who's always going to be in existence. God is forever. He is forever and ever and ever. And I mean, I can't say it enough. Verse 7, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, do you hear me? Overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of paradise of God, of the paradise of God. He that overcomes, now I want you to get confidence, assurance, and steadfast, unmovable, headstrong, nothing can separate you from the fact that we are going to be in the midst of the paradise of God.
My God.
And verse 8, and to the angels of the church at Smyrna, write these things, says the first and the last. Do you hear me? The first and last. Who was dead and came to life. Who else, y'all?
My God.
If you don't feel like worshiping God, and you don't feel like praising God, and you don't feel like giving him the utterance of the glory that he deserves so highly, if you just don't feel like doing it, make yourself do it. Glory. Don't let your body make you not praise the Most High God, the first and the last. Glory to God. What else got a God who is the first and the last? Nobody but us. He is the first and the last. He is Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He is everything. So when your body say, oh, and I know because my body tell me the same thing sometimes. Oh, you too tired. You too tired. Oh, the body is a liar. It's a liar, and the devil is a liar. And that ain't nothing but the devil trying to coerce you not to praise God, because he going to wish he could praise God 24/7.
Yes.
Because the future that's planned for him is not very good. Glory to God. Verse 9, I know your works and your tribulations and poverty. You hear that, people? You know your works, tribulations, and your poverty. But you are rich. Do you hear me, y'all? This is Revelation chapter 2, verse 9. Oh, Jesus.
Talk is strategic. Nobody knows.
All rich.
Preacher, I'm here.
Okay. Now I had a call coming in trying to offset me. So no matter what kind of poverty, and this is what we are trying to teach mainly, that you cannot go by circumstances. You cannot go by how things look. You can't even go by how you feel, because all of these are deceptions. These are things to get you wrapped up. That's why we have problems. That's why we have family problems, trouble problems, financial problems. All those things Satan is wanting us to dwell on. That's what his purpose is. Remember one thing. We have the victory. Just always see yourself at the victory line, that you have won see yourself in your vision. Get your eyesight set that Jesus is at the end of the line and you already won. You already there. That he has never left you. He has never forsaken you. And he is with you even until the end of the world. That's the word. I'm telling you, I can't even get enough of this here, because I know your works and your tribulations and your poverty. You are rich. And I know the blaspheming of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. You hear this? Everything that's evil going on this earth, God knows it. Verse 10, do not fear any of these things, those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life.
My God, praise the living God. Hallelujah. Praise the living God.
Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Yes, sir, this is what it's saying. And verse 11, Revelation chapter 2, 11, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. He who overcomes shall not be hurt. Oh, Lord, ain't that beautiful? The second death, the second death will not have no effect on us. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos, write,
Right.
These things say, he who has the sharp two-edged sword, I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. Verse 14, but I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam. Y'all hear that?
Yes.
The doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. Do you hear me?
Uh-huh.
That's Revelation chapter 2. Okay, my time is about to run out, so I'm going to just read the rest of this, but I'm going to be going over it in the next few weeks, verse by verse, and separating it and bringing it into this, because this is, you know, Revelation is past, present, and future. It's things to come, things that have passed, and things that are now. These things are going to happen because God has already promised. And you must have every confidence. I keep telling you confidence. I can't tell you, assure you enough to have confidence in God. Have confidence in God. We put confidence in our money in our bank. We put confidence in the chair we sat in. We put confidence in the car we drive. You know, I was sitting on a bridge today, and it was many, 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 many cars. And I said, oh, Lord, I wonder, do you think about the engineers that made these bridges? How many of, did they actually contemplate that it might be 1,000 cars on this bridge and all of them weighing tons? Did they actually take into account? They didn't think. They figured it would be a momentarily moving and passing, that they wouldn't, that they might not, they ain't going to surely all be sitting on this bridge, for up to an hour maybe. But we have confidence in that bridge. Built the bridge. But I tell you, have confidence in Jesus Christ. Because he was God manifested in the flesh, preached unto the Gentiles, received up unto glory. Jesus has all the answers, and he is the final judge. And he's going to submit us, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when he had delivered us up, he himself shall become subject back unto the Father. So, but right now the word say, all judgment is committed unto Jesus Christ. So don't be letting these people talk and all these crazy stuff, these lies. They tell you many lies. Jesus was just a man. Jesus is this. Jesus is that. He ain't nobody, but he is everything. He's everything. He's life. He is Lord. He is Lord. And here's another challenge I want to tell you before we go. Say Jesus is Lord 5 times every night before you go to sleep, and I promise you, you will sleep like an angel. Because when you make him Lord, Lord of your tongue, Lord of your eyes, Lord of your ears, Lord of your heartbeat, Lord of your life, Lord of your household, make him Lord. Jesus is God, and he's very jealous, and he's crying out for us. Receive him today. Receive him today. I didn't get through the whole chapter of chapter 2 of Revelation, but I want you to get in it. Search the scriptures, and because each verse has many scriptures that you can run to. That was my intention, but I wanted to really just share the drasticness of the scripture of the chapter with you tonight.
My God, what that's, ooh, Jesus. My, what teaching? Jesus. See, when we get up into the book of Revelation, good Lord, it lays you out. That's what it does. It lays you out. I mean, if you ain't got it right, it'll lay you out. And see, one of the things that I love in the latter part as I was studying this years ago, not trying to beat on somebody's time, but I want you to know this here. When I was finished reading the book of Revelation, here's what got me to say, yes, Lord. He which testified these things shall say, surely, I come quickly.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to finish it up. He's not coming quickly. My God, what glory. I, Jesus, come quickly. Hallelujah. And tonight,
hallelujah.
You took us away over there in the book of Revelation. Hey, praise God. Well, you know, I'm just so happy. We just thank God for everyone. We got this young lady, Kid, ready to come on right now. And I want to thank God for her and what God is doing through her, by her, and around her. One of the things that we take notice that I just say these with love, because I've been reading, and I would like to share with you right quick. What you speak, if words are manifested to you, speak them. If you got words, if the word like this came to me some months ago, it's KESK Supernatural. I mean, correction. KESK Network. It's supernatural. Somebody get it. But let me tell you something what I found out about what God is doing in our lives. God is getting us ready. And I don't like to just get out and throw a name out there, but I want to tell you, I've been listening to this man, him, two of them. One named Kenneth Copeland, one named Dollar out of Atlanta. And they are preaching the word like never before. Christ in me. And we've been knowing it. I've been knowing it. And the more you see things manifested back to you, we just got to take it. Hallelujah. So I'm just going to sit back and I have so much I want to say, but I have some other people online. Go ahead on. Are you on the line now, please?
Amen. Hello, everyone.
Hello, how are you?
I'm blessed. Happy
I'm blessed,
to be back
I'm
on
blessed,
the
I'm blessed, I'm blessed. Amen.
Yes, Lord. I want to apologize to everyone. I missed a couple of weeks, but I'm back and praise God. You know,
no apologies accepted. We know you have some work to do for God, so we love you.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Okay, as I was preparing for tonight, I wanted to finish what I started. I'm one of those, once I start something, I like to complete it.
All right.
So I'm going to complete the teaching on the fruit of the Spirit. But let me start off with prayer. Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity to be a vessel for you, oh God. I ask that you cover me as I do what you've called me to do, Father God. That you speak to everyone on this line, Father God. Prepare our hearts, prepare our ears, Father God. Help us to open up to you and receive what you're saying, Father God. Help us to see you in all that we do, Father God. Let your light shine through us, Father God. And as you use all of us, Father God, have your way. In Jesus' name, I thank you and amen.
Amen.
Well, just a small review on what I did on the prior week that we spoke of, the first half of the fruit of the Spirit. I came from Galatians 5, which says, "But when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us."
Amen.
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I spoke of already love, joy, peace, and patience. And love we talked about was the agape love, which is the unconditional love that we are to walk in, with the same type of love that God gave us by giving us his son, Jesus Christ. And because Christ lives in us, we are to walk in that same love, regardless of how we may feel, It doesn't go by our emotions. It's an unconditional love. Even if we don't like someone or we're having issues with someone, we still manage to, and it can be hard, but we still manage to walk in that love, you know, and that's definitely being led by the Holy Spirit. And then we spoke of joy, which is a happiness, you know, in the midst of chaos and in different things that go on in our lives on a day-to-day basis. We have to choose joy in the midst of it all. Just choose joy and count all the trials and the temptations that we go through. We have to count it all joy because God is in control and he knows what we're going through and he knows why he allows different things to happen in our lives. And it's to build us up and to help us to be more like him. So we have to choose joy in the midst of everything that we're walking through. And then I discussed peace, which is freedom from disturbance, quiet, being calm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a perfect example of that, you know, like going, being in the midst of a storm and different things going on in your life, you just seem to have that peace that, and the assurance that God is with you and everything you're going with, from the bills, from dealing with your family members and friends, just all kind of things that you may be dealing with in your life, you seem to have that peace, you know, that surpasses all understanding, and that's the Holy Spirit that dwells in you. And we also talked about having patience, which is the being able to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. And we discussed about, you know, having patience in the midst of trials and having patience with dealing with others. And today I'm going to finish up and go over a couple of scriptures that God has given me to share with everyone. And the next one, the next fruit of the Spirit is kindness. Wait, let me rewind just in case someone wasn't there in the beginning.
Uh-huh.
The fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that dwells in us, when us as Christians accept Jesus Christ in our lives and we accept him in our heart and we live by him, the whole, and we accept him and confess it with our mouth and believe it, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And our day-to-day life we live, the Holy Spirit teaches us how to be Christ-like. But every day, because we're all still human, we have a sinful nature, which is our flesh. And our flesh, our sinful nature is constantly going back and forth with our spirit man, the Holy Spirit. Every choice that we have is always them two going back and forth within us. And as we choose to live and listen to the Holy Spirit, that's more of what we will live by, and more what people will see in us is the Spirit of the Lord in us. People will see that light in us, Jesus Christ. So to let everybody know that the fruit of the Spirit is actually the Holy Spirit, the deeds of Jesus doing and moving and having his being in us. That's what the Holy Spirit and the fruit is. I mean, the fruit of the Spirit. And then I'm going to go to kindness, the spirit of gentleness. You know, moral goodness, having integrity, a behavior marked by ethical characteristics, a pleasant disposition, and concern for others. A kindness is one of those you can own.
Amen.
A kindness is something that people can see. It's not nothing that you can say or, excuse me, it's like an action. Like people can see you and they can speak to you or they can just see your the way you live your life and your characteristics and they can just see kindness is a gentleness you have about you. It's a deposition. It's pleasant. Like people can see the Lord in you when they speak to you, and you can just be silent and they can watch you and just see the gentleness and the integrity you have and the concern for others. It's like having a heart like Jesus, just reaching out to all kind of people, whether they're good or bad, and just walking in that love. That's what type of kindness that they speak of, a gentleness. And then they spoke of goodness as the fruit of a spirit, which is uprightness of the heart. And it's similar to kindness, you know. It's a goodness. People see a goodness in you. And it also represents the Holy Spirit in you. And then the next fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. Faithfulness is a trust, a confidence, you know, having faith and being reliable, assurance, belief. It's complete confidence or trust in a person or thing, a belief not based on proof, a strong, unshakable belief in something. Faithfulness is like if you have something going on in your life and you constantly dealing with it back and forth, but you're not you're not giving up on what God told you, or you knowing that God is faithful. You're standing on His word. You believe in His word, no matter how ugly it is, no matter how hard it seems to get. You still believe God, and you believe that He's going to come through for you. So you stand on His word, and that's the form of faithfulness they're talking about. Or even when we're dealing with each other, you know, when we tell someone something and we do something, we keep our word. We are faithful to what we say we're going to do. You know, people can depend on us. They can call on us, and we will be there for them. That's another form of faithfulness. It's like a confidence that people will have in us, knowing that they can trust us, and they are assured that who we are going to be man and woman of our word, and we just remain faithful, even faithful to what God has called us to do, you know. It's so, and then I want to share this in the midst of talking about faithfulness. You know, God has called us all to a work. Every single person that has been brought into the kingdom of God has been called to do a work. And, you know, sometimes when we are moving in, things start getting hard, you know, we tend to fall back, or we tend to forget what God had told us, or we forget the promises that He spoke of our lives, and it gets so hard. And I even had to do this for myself. I had to get in that word and remind myself of what God had told me, you know, because that's where your strength comes from. You know, in the midst of you, the word says we are not exempt from prosecution. You know, everything, when you're living a guarded life, you are going to have trials. You're going to have tribulation. You're going to have things that are going to try to take you off course, because the enemy upset. You know, the enemy don't want you to prosper. The enemy don't want you to walk in the purpose that God has ordained for you. So the enemy tries to bring all kind of different things to distract you and take you off course. And you get in the midst of fighting the enemy, and you forget he didn't distract you from what your focus was on originally. And, you know, it's just for us to remain faithful, even when it gets hard, just to stand. You know, God allows that to build us up, you know, to help us to be more like Him. So we have to be faithful in everything that we do, even with our mates, our children, our coworkers, our family members. We have to be faithful, because sometimes people depend on us to be remain faithful. You know, for instance, this radio station, for instance, we're reaching so many people. And I thought about this the other day, you know, just, you know, you don't know who's listening to you. You don't know who's coming on and needs to hear a word from the Lord, and you missing it. And I had to, it's no combination of Jesus Christ, but you have to examine yourself. And, you know, you don't know who's coming on every Monday to hear what the Lord is saying for you. Or you don't know who's coming on that needs to be set free by a word that you got in your belly. You know, so we have to be faithful in everything that God has called us to do, from pastoring, you know, for volunteering work, whatever God has called us to do. We have to remain faithful, even when it gets hard. The same excitement we had in the beginning, we have to hold on to that, and we have to hold on to the word and the promise that God has given us from the very beginning when He called us for it. So we have to be found faithful. We have to remember that be dependable for others, you know. We have to stick to our words, and we have to trust each other. And in order to trust each other, we have to show that we can be faithful and we can be trustworthy to each other. And then the next fruit of the Spirit is gentleness and the meekness, which is the quality of being kind and careful, a gentle nature, which is real similar to kindness and goodness. You know, a meekness is something that some people like to say a weakness, but it's really not a weakness. It's being able to control who you are and still be gentle and still be sweet and still be kind and still be able to let the Lord move in you and have sweetness about you and not, you know, be able to deal with certain things and shake it off and not let everything get you upset. And then the next fruit of the Spirit is self-control, which means the power to control one's actions, impulses, or emotions, self-discipline. Self-control is one that I know that we all probably battle with once, or, you know, are still battling with, because that is something you have to really die to your flesh. You have to really take a minute before you be slow to speak, you know, be slow to do anything, you know, think before you move, think before you speak, you know, in everything that we do, we have to be mindful of people watching us and be mindful of our reactions to different situations, because if we don't have self-control, people will quickly see that you know, you're living in your flesh or you're not being led by the Holy Spirit. And when you're being led by the Holy Spirit, we all know that our Father is gentle and he walks in love and he has control about himself. He don't let nothing, he didn't let nothing make him upset to the point to where he had no self-control. He always had self-discipline. And if we are living vessels for him and he's living and dwelling in us, we have to remember to walk the same way that he walked, in that self-control, and not let little things upset us. Or even in an argument, somebody can tell you something that really, really would cut you the wrong way, and you just really want to just go off and start cussing and just pick up something and throw it at them, just anything. That's showing self-control. That's showing that you're operating in your flesh, your sinful nature, because the first thing that comes in your mind, you want to retaliate and you want to get them back or you want to say something to hurt them, but that's not walking in the, you know, the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. You know, walking in the fruit of the Spirit, you've been able to think for a minute before you open your mouth, or you're able to just turn away and just say, God bless you, or just move forward without retaliating or entertaining, you know, the other person, whatever the situation be. And as I was finishing up on the fruit of the Spirit, he gave me Psalms 1. And Psalms 1 and 3, which says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he do shall prosper." Jesus. It says, he shall be like a tree. And if you think about a strong tree, that's exactly what he is. Man and woman of God, they're strong because the Spirit lives in them. They're strong. They are firm. You know, they're unmovable. They're like a tree. We have to have our roots down deep so we can't be moved. And, you know, for the Spirit, for the Holy Spirit to be seen in us, we have to be strong and we have to be wise and we have to stand firm in everything. We have to be planted just like the tree on the rivers of the water. We have to bring forth his fruit, which is the Holy Spirit fruit, by our actions, by allowing Jesus to really live and move and dwell in us, like surrendering to his Spirit, so he can teach us how to be more like him. And it says, in his season, which is the time, his leaf also shall not wither, shall not fall. So if we're strong like a tree and we're allowing the Holy Spirit to move and have his being in us, our leaves will not fall. The things that's going on in our life, we will not fall. We will not go into the traps of the enemy and go outside of the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, you know, the kindness, the goodness, the self-control, you know, the gentleness, the faithfulness. If we are planted in the Holy Spirit and we're planted in his word, we cannot be shaken. We will not move. And everything that we do, because of the God that lives in us, we will prosper. Everything that we do shall prosper. And then he gave me Matthew 7:18-20, and I want to read it from the King James Version. Thank you, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm starting, it's Matthew 17 starting at 7, Matthew 7 starting at 17. "Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them." It says, "Even so, every good tree bring forth good fruit, just like Psalms just said, you know, we bring forth good fruit. If the Holy Spirit is living and moving in us and we're making good choices and we're thinking about things before we're doing and we're allowing God to have his way in us, we're going to bring forth good fruit and people are going to see that fruit, and that's going to glorify our Father, because they're seeing how, you know, for instance, our past lives, people know us before Christ, and they know me for myself. I can speak for myself. I was one of those that I would go off in a second, or I'll just have something to say to anybody. But if people would see me now, they'd be like, I see the difference in you, because you are yielding to Jesus Christ. You are allowing yourself to be used by God. And because of that, the more and more that we allow God to have his way in us and lead us by his spirit, those fruit will grow in us, those good fruit. We won't be corrupt trees. We won't bring forth evil, because when we entertain the flesh, the sinful nature, it brings forth evil fruit. It brings out the bad in us, the ugly in us, you know, and that's surely not pleasing unto God. So we have to really be mindful of our actions and, you know, take a minute to think before we do and bring forth that good fruit that God has ordained for us to do and allow his light to shine, because it's hard and it's something that we have to do day by day, but we have to be mindful, especially in different positions in ministry. You have to be mindful, and I'm speaking to those who are in ministry. You know, you have to be mindful of who's watching. You know, you have to let your life be example, because you can say whatever you want all day long. You can say it with your mouth, but if your actions are not showing the same thing, it turns people away from you, and it can turn people away from Christ. You're not really supposed to look at man. You're supposed to look at Christ, because if you look at man, man will fail you every time. But unfortunately, in the world we live in, people are always watching you and how you're living your life and the different things that you're doing, because they want to see if you're really serving God, if you're really serving this Jesus that you say you're serving, or you really living how you preach. You know, you got to let your life preach for you. You have to let your actions show. And you have to be mindful of everybody that's around you, even your children that's growing up, you know, watching your every move. You know, you can preach in a pulpit all day, but if you're not living like you're supposed to live in your home, you're not being a good example for your kids. And that makes your kids be like, well, if my parents not doing it, why I need to do it? Or even family members. You know, you never know who's watching. Like I said, it's not supposed to be like that. People are supposed to look unto God for their direction and their wisdom. You know, Jesus be the center of it all, but everybody doesn't do that. Unfortunately, we're watching the preacher on the pulpit. We're watching the leaders in the church. We're watching. Everyone's watching you, so you have to be mindful. You have to let God live in you and move and have his being in you. You have to yield to that Holy Spirit, and you have to allow the Holy Spirit to teach you how to walk in the fruit. And as you continue to go day by day and allow Jesus, choose to live by the Spirit and not your flesh, and allow Jesus to have his way, you will shine so bright. And day by day, you even see that things are slowly knocking off of you. And you, before you know, you look back and it's like, oh, wow, God has really turned me around. And people will see that too, and they will glorify God, and they will seek to get to know this God, because they know if God can do it for X, Y, Z, and I know they was a bad person, I know he can do it for me. And also gives people hope if they see the truth, because people want truth. People don't want to see you saying one thing and living another way. That's straight lies. It turns people away. They want to see truth. They want to really see if you're living how you say you live, if you're living and loving the Lord like you say you love the Lord. And I want to close with this. You know, I just pray that everyone has benefited out of this lesson. Sorry it took us so long to finish it up. But we have to be, we have to remember day to day, as we start our morning, surrender to God and ask God to have his way in us, you know, and teach us how to be more like him every day, have a heart like him, to purify us from the inside out so we can be living examples of him. That it will draw people to him and not to ourselves. It's not about us. We're just vessels, allowing ourselves to be used for him. But we have to be willing vessels, and we have to be willing to submit to him and ask him to show us how to be like him. We have to be led by his spirit daily. People should see Jesus in us, in our walk, our talk, our actions, everything in our life. They should see Jesus, and they will know us by our fruit. Always be mindful. People will know us by our fruit. The word just said they will know us by our fruit. So what kind of fruit do you have on your tree? Examine yourself and ask God to show you if there's anything in your heart, anything that you need to address or deal with. You know, ask God to reveal it to you, and he definitely will reveal it to you. And he even show you how you can overcome it, because he is able to help us overcome every single thing that we deal with. Amen. We have to show it by our actions, as I said. We have to show by our actions that agape love, that unconditional love, even when we don't feel like it, even when we just We may see somebody we just not too crazy about. We're like, oh, not him again. Oh, not her again. But you have to walk in that God type of love because you think about the patience God had with us. We have to do the same with others. So we have to walk in that agape love. We must choose joy in everything that we go through in life. Choose joy. Count it all joy, like the word says. Count it all joy because you're being strengthened. You're being trained up. He's developing you into be who he called you to be. We have to allow patience to have a perfect work in us. And when God is finished with us, we'll be lacking nothing. That's what the word says. We'll be lacking nothing. We'll be firm. We'll be standing tall like trees, standing on his word. We have to let kindness be shown in our life at all times. We have to walk in integrity and treat others with respect and love, that agape love. And we have to let goodness show that we are righteous people and be upright people from our hearts, from the inside out. We have to remain faithful in everything that we're called to do, whether it be in work, whether it be in ministry, whether it be with family members and friends, whether it be volunteer work, even though you don't get paid for that volunteer work. Still be faithful to that because everything you do, you should do it unto God. And God is watching us. He's watching us, every move that we make, everything that we do, everything that we say. He's watching, and he's seeing who's faithful and who's not. And we have to be gentle. We have to have that meekness. We have to have a quiet spirit about ourselves and have a gentle nature about ourselves and have self-control in every area of our life. Hallelujah. Of our life. We have to be slow to speak. We have to think before we do. Even in the heat of the moment, just take a moment. Jesus, how do I deal with this? Shall I walk away? Should I address it? How do I address it? Lord, you take care of it. Because if I'm a Christian and you're living in me, you already know the answer to this problem. You already have the solution to this problem. So God, teach me how to walk in self-control. And, you know, all of this, the fruit of the Spirit, this is a day-to-day battle for many of us. But if we get in that word and we dig deep, we'll be like the tree that he talked about by the river, firm and strong. And in our season, we'll have good fruit, and the people will see the fruit, and they will glorify God and want to see how they can be just like him too. So I just bless everyone, and I pray that God will give us all the strength to walk by his Spirit, that his fruit will be made known in our lives and we'll be a light to all those around us. I speak strength. I speak encouragement. I speak power and authority, you know, that everybody will walk in that power and authority that Jesus has given them. When the enemy tries to come in, you know, rise up. Let the Holy Spirit teach us discernment, especially in this hour. There's so many things going on in this world, and it's like, you're trying to figure it out, but a lot of things that's going on is because God is allowing to show his people. We got to get it together because he's coming soon, and we got to be a ready people. We have to be a ready people, and when we come across someone that don't know Jesus or haven't experienced him, that's what we are called to do. We are called to speak a word in their life. We are called to share Jesus with them. We have to let our light shine, let our fruit shine, so people can glorify our Father and get closer to our Father. I bless everyone, and I just thank you guys for joining us on tonight, and everyone have a blessed and sweet sleep. Amen.
Amen. The Lord bless us all, and the Lord keep us until we meet again. God bless you.
Amen. Good night.